It's not only news, it's science breakthroughs. Tomorrow's technologies. Advanced medical techniques. It's a glimpse into the future where we discuss artificial intelligence, earth and energy, enhanced humans, future society, health and medicine, space, robots and machines. Welcome to Science Bites with Joe and Craig.
Today is Thursday, November 5th, 2020. An unusual meteorite that streaked across the sky in Michigan as a fireball before landing on a frozen lake in 2018 has given scientists a peek at what space rocks can carry down to Earth.
Not a plague or zombie virus, at least not yet. This particular meteorite was chock full of organic compounds, carbon-containing molecules that serve as the building blocks of life on Earth, that had clear extraterrestrial origins. That's so amazing. I love that. In this case, scientists from Chicago's Field Museum of Natural History got to it so quickly that they were able to rule out the sorts of contamination that usually impedes meteorite research.
Typically, meteorites are teeming with life, only because they were sitting around long enough for life on Earth to move into and colonize them. That's what makes this meteorite such a prize.
This meteorite is special because it fell onto a frozen lake and was recovered quickly. It was very pristine. Scientists could see the minerals weren't altered and later found that it contained a rich inventory of extraterrestrial organic compounds. It is compounds like these that some scientists theorize kick-started life on Earth after they were brought down by a series of ancient meteorite impacts. These kinds of organic compounds were likely delivered to early Earth by meteorites and might have contributed to the ingredients of life. I think that's amazing, Joe. But we already know that asteroids and meteorites have the compounds of life in them, so...
Right, that's already proven out to be.
It makes sense.
The more we learn, the more we understand how life can get kick-started on a planet. While scientists strive to find other planets in the galaxy, a team of scientists say it found what could be the most Earth-like, potentially habitable exoplanet to date.
The world TO1-700D, and I am not a fan of these types of names for planets, Joe. They should just invent a name. That would be easier, I think. But anyway, this is close to the same size and mass as Earth, and in a first-of-its-kind discovery, orbits within the host star's habitable zone as well. That's according to a pair of papers published in the Astrophysical Journal that use and refine data from the transiting exoplanet survey satellite to analyze the distant star system, potentially uncovering the best candidate yet for Earth 2.0.
Well, in a third paper in the Astrophysical Journal, the team of astrophysics suggests that the planet is an ideal distance from its star to have a livable atmosphere and a climate as well as water on the surface.
I wonder if there's a duplicate Craig on Earth 2.0.
Oh my God, please. If there is, there's another one of me.
That would be dangerous for everybody, wouldn't there?
Oh God.
Two of us. But anyway, for now, that part remains fairly speculative. At 102 light years away from us, it's too far to look for signs of clouds or other signs of atmosphere with any equipment that we have today. But even without breathable air, this may be the closest astronomers have come to finding a new livable world, and that is fascinating all by itself.
Oh yes, and unfortunately the scientists argue that any space missions currently on the docket won't be able to get any clearer of a picture of the exoplanet that they already have.
Yeah, that kind of stinks.
I know.
But you know what? It seems that it would take targeted specific missions to find out if there is air and water on TOI-700D. And since it's so far away, that might not happen for quite some time now. I'll probably be dead and dust by the time that happens.
Right. We have a lot of space news that contains the topic of life. Here's another. Using a massive radio telescope in Chile, a team of NASA scientists have spotted a highly unusual molecule in the atmosphere of Saturn's largest moon, Titan.
I just think this is fascinating, Joe, that we're finding these molecules and stuff in these moons and planets, like in Venus. The molecule in question is abbreviated as C3H2. It's an exciting find because molecules similar to it form parts of the nuclear base of DNA and RNA, structures that carry the genetic code of life. The researchers were quick to point out that doesn't necessarily mean the discovery is proof of life on Titan, though.
Previously, the rare molecules had only been spotted in clouds of gas between star systems. NASA says they are too cold and empty for exciting chemical reactions to occur. Titan's atmosphere, however, appears to be teeming with reactions. One of the many reasons NASA wants to study the moon using a beefy octocopter drone called Dragonfly.
Titan is unique in our solar system. It has proved to be a treasure trove of new molecules. Titan's atmosphere may resemble Earth's far more than other moons in our solar system. It even features rivers and lakes, as well as subsurface ocean of salty water. But it's still a pretty inhospitable place for life as we know it. Its nitrogen-heavy atmosphere is 4 times as dense as Earth's, with gravity slightly less than the Earth's moon. That hasn't deterred scientists from investigating it for signs of life, especially considering that the atmosphere also contains a trace of methane, which can trigger a whole host of intriguing chemical reactions. NASA scientists are trying to figure out if Titan is habitable, so they want to know what compounds from the atmosphere get to the surface, and then whether that material can get through the ice crust to the ocean below, because they think the ocean is where the habitable conditions are.
There is still a lot to be learned about the mysterious moon's atmosphere. In fact, they still have not figured out how C3H2 interacts with other gases in the atmosphere. They will be looking for bigger molecules than C3H2 on Titan. We need to know what's happening in the atmosphere to understand the chemical reactions that lead complex organic molecules to form and rain down on the surface.
And you know what, Joe, when you get right down to it, like we just discussed a few minutes ago, it's all about those chemicals that can kickstart life. It's just chemicals interacting with one another.
Yeah. Okay, it's time for a quick break.
Men and women from communities across this nation serve as reserve citizen airmen.
I am proud to defend our nation.
Proud to be part of a team that helps make a difference.
I am proud to be part of something larger than me and to serve my country.
We celebrate those who have served and those who are proudly serving in the Air Force Reserve. Our mission is to fly, fight, and win in air, space, and cyberspace.
And I am proud to be a member.
I am proud to protect our...
Proud to serve in the U.S. Air Force Reserve.
An aneurysm is often a life-threatening restriction in the flow of blood vessels in the side of the brain. Treating it is a high-stake medical procedure. Even the best producers are risky and done as a last-ditch effort to prevent brain damage and death.
To come up with new ways to treat aneurysms and improve existing ones, a team of researchers at TK Institution has developed what they say is a first-ever living 3D-printed aneurysm. While it's not the first artificial aneurysm ever created, they say it's the first time scientists have used human cells to create a living structure, perform a medical procedure on it, and watch it heal as it would inside of a living human body.
The team created it by 3D printing blood vessels using human brain cells. They then inserted the catheter into a tiny vessel and packed it with platinum coils to stop blood flow. Simulating one of the more common ways a surgeon might choose to treat an aneurysm.
By shooting blood plasma through the aneurysm where the coils were, the researchers found the area was healing and forming a blood clot. While there are a lot of promising treatment options, some may still have a long way to go. Animal models aren't necessarily the best way to try out these options, as they lack direct observation of treatment effects and have uncontrollable aneurysm geometries. Having this robust human in vitro testing platform could help facilitate new treatments.
The researchers are hoping to use the 3D printed aneurysm to replicate a wide variety of different sizes and shapes of blood vessels that are different from person to person. In other words, they are trying to perfectly replicate what an aneurysm actually looks like inside the range of bodies.
The team also used computational models to allow surgeons to choose the best types of coils for treating an aneurysm. Essentially, a clinician could literally look at somebody's brain scan, run it through the modeling software, and the software could show the fluid dynamics prior to treatment. It also should be able to simulate that treatment and allow for the practitioner to narrow down to a certain type of coil or packing volume to ensure the best possible outcome. Aneurysms are a leading cause of sudden death. Around 25 to 30,000 people die from ruptured aneurysms in the US each year. In the UK, between 6,000 and 9,000 people die from aneurysms each year. Men over 65 are the most likely persons to develop aneurysms. And Joe, those are just some drastic number differences there.
I know. It's something. I wrote it down so we can investigate why it is such a dramatic difference. But for now, let's go back to space. NASA just announced that it formally partnered with the European Space Agency to develop the Gateway Space Station. It plans to launch into orbit around the moon.
The Gateway Station is meant to allow long-term lunar exploration by serving as a middle ground between space and the lunar surface. According to the NASA press release, it will be an international venture. And after helping establish a human presence on and around the moon, the joint project could help both NASA and the ESA reach Mars.
Construction of the Gateway Space Station could begin by 2022. The ESA has agreed to provide new modules for the Gateway and spacecraft that will travel there and back, as well as improving the lunar communications and a system to refuel the Gateway.
In short order, they will move human spaceflight from beyond low Earth orbit to the moon for the first time since 1972. This partnership leverages the outstanding cooperation established by the International Space Station as they push forward to the moon. Gateway will continue to expand NASA's cooperation with international partners like the ESA, ensuring the Artemis program results in the safe and sustainable exploration of the moon after the initial human lunar landing and beyond.
We're not finished with space just yet. A team of NASA scientists had spotted strange flashes of light known as TLEs in the upper atmosphere of Jupiter. Events like these have never been observed on another planet until now.
Scientists have observed similar flashes of light that occur far above lightning storms here on Earth, which are triggered by discharges of electricity in the upper atmosphere. For a while, astronomers had theorized their existence in Jupiter's massive turbulent atmosphere. But thanks to new data collected by the ultraviolet spectrograph instrument attached to NASA's Juno spacecraft, the team was finally able to confirm their presence.
The flashes resemble the TLEs we experience on Earth in numerous ways. These events on Earth, including spirits, which are large-scale electrical charges occurring above the thunderstorms, and elves, which are a massive halos of light occurring above the thunderstorm, appear reddish in color due to their interaction with nitrogen in the upper atmosphere.
On a different world, these rare events look quite different. But on Jupiter, the upper atmosphere mostly consists of hydrogen, so they would likely appear either blue or pink. Now the researchers know what to look for, it will be easier to find them at Jupiter and on other planets. And comparing spirits and elves from Jupiter with those here on Earth will help us better understand electrical activity in planetary atmospheres. Okay, it's time for a short break, and when we come back, we will have another quick bite for you.
What makes a rainbow bend? Where does the universe end? To know the world from A to Z,
discover science and technology.
Where is the dinosaur? What's on the ocean floor? To know the world from A to Z,
astronomy, biology, chemistry, zoology, science and technology.
It's fun, you see. Why is the sun so warm? What makes a winter storm? And what's a quadruped? Why is the planet Mars red? You'll find there's lots to know, and exploring as you go, to know the world from A to Z.
Discover science and technology, astronomy, biology, chemistry, zoology, science and technology. It's fun, you'll see.
A public service message from the National Science Foundation.
Welcome back. According to researchers from the University of Queensland in Australia, our planet will likely be hit with more mega droughts, meaning that they will last longer than 2 decades, thanks to a large part of our climate change.
The team studied geological records from 129 to 116,000 years ago, the second to last time when the planet was between ice ages, when the planet was warmer and more arid. They found that, in the past, a similar amount of warming has been associated with mega drought conditions all over southeastern Australia. These drier conditions prevailed for centuries, sometimes for more than 1,000 years, with El Nino events most likely increasing their severity.
There's one critical difference. During the period, the warming was caused by changes of the Earth's tilt and orbit, while today it's greenhouse gases that are responsible for the warmer climate.
By studying stalagmites in caves in New South Wales, Australia, the team found that precipitation was significantly reduced during that period. These are alarming findings in one long list of alarming findings that climate scientists have released over the last few decades. This is a dire warning. Hopefully, this new research allows for new insights to our future climate and the risks it may bring, such as drought and associated brush fires. But importantly, if humans continue to warm the planet, this is the future that we all may be looking at.
You can always rake the ground.
We can rake the ground. Rake those leaves, everybody. Rake the leaves. But there's something else interesting here, Joe, because the last time you said that it was caused by the changes of the Earth's tilt and orbit, and I just read something recently that about every 15,000 years or so, Earth's tilt and the orbit like wobble slightly. And when that happens, the Mideast becomes an oasis of vegetation rather than a desert. So I find that really cool.
So that tilt and wobble goes with age, like me.
Yeah, goes with age.
Oh, well, that brings us to a close of another show. You can find our shows on our website, MySciencebites.com, and on all podcast platforms.
Joe and I are grateful to you, our listeners. Because of your dedication, we are now broadcasting in 19 countries and have been scheduled for Season 2, which starts in mid-January 2021. This season will come to an end on November 19th with a fun little treat at the end of the show. Thanks again for listening, and we will be back next week with another new episode.